This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know.
Business for the businessman.
Yeah, you got my number.
Okay.
Cool.
Brass tacks.
Yes.
Just got a shipment of the dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
It's not better than the Blue Oyster weed. It can't be. I can't handle better than
this
that.
This is like, if that Blue Oyster shit met that Afghan Kush I had,
yeah.
And they had a baby, and then meanwhile, that crazy Northern Light stuff I had, and the Super Red Espresso Snowflake met and had a baby, and by some miracle, those two babies met and fucked, this would be the shit that they birthed.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. If you didn't guess what that clip was, it is from the movie Pineapple Express, which came out in 2008 and it stars James Franco and Seth Rogen. This was probably the first like stoner comedy I had ever seen. And considering it came out in 2008, I don't know, probably weird for a kid in middle school to watch this movie, but I loved raunchy comedies back then, and I still do, weirdly. Say what you want about me, we all have different tastes. But if you haven't guessed it, we are talking about weed this week. So with that, let's ask a question. I really wanted to ask, do you smoke weed? But you can't really do that. Because I don't want to incriminate anyone, and I don't live in a legal state, so I'm not going to incriminate myself. Nice try if you think I was going to expose all my stories. So we're just going to ask a different one. My question of the week is, do you watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette? Yeah, I know, total 360, but that's what we do on Shit You Need to Know. It just started up last week, and Hannah from Alabama is on there, super cute. I don't know. Let me know if you watch it. I think it's entertaining. Now that Game of Thrones is over, what do I do? What do I watch? The answer is, right now, The Bachelorette, because I don't have time for anything else. But I will post the poll on Instagram on Wednesday when this episode comes out, like always. And we're also going to do a live recap of the episode on Instagram later that Wednesday night. So you have two things on Wednesday. You have the poll, and then you have the live recap. So stay tuned for that. I know they're both going to be super fun. Last week's was super fun, even though I didn't get to do it until Tuesday, because life happens. So on this week's episode, I have Strawberry Sequoia, who is the podcast host of the Mary Jane Experience. She co-hosts this podcast with her fiance, and this podcast is all about, you know, cannabis education. So that's what we talk about. We talk a lot about, you know, what to expect, why it's legal in some states and not others, you know, what you need to know about the CBD oil phase or craze, I guess, or both. Phase and craze, and then some just, you know, good old-fashioned stories about what happens when you share a joint. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you find it informative. Find me on Instagram, at RealMarthaRiley, for the live Wednesday postmortem. Take it away.
So my podcasting name is Strawberry Sequoia. It's not my real name, but I started a podcast called The Mary Jane Experience, which is essentially a podcast about education and destigmatization of the plant. We're based here in Boulder, Colorado, where cannabis is completely legal, but I know a ton of places that are not, where there's confusion, and even in legal states, the information's just not quite there yet. So we started a podcast, and it's been a lot of fun. We're on our 15th episode, and yeah, so that's kind of the gist.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. Because I do live in one of those states that this is not legal, this activity of cannabis and plant. So do you find a lot of people, you know, listen to your podcast who live in states where it is legal, or more so that it's out of state, not legal. That might be hard to tell with stats, but just maybe from any feedback you've gotten, I'd be curious to hear that.
Of course. So being that we're based in Colorado and we do talk to a lot of Colorado-based companies, I think our main following seems to be mostly Colorado and California. And that's, I think, a lot just because those are the companies that we interview. It's a lot easier to find businesses in the legal states than it is in the non-legal states. That being said, we definitely have people all over the place. One of our best received podcasts, which I think is really funny actually, is our cannabis and parenting podcast, where we had mothers from all over the country thanking us for helping lift the stigma about cannabis and parenting, just because there's so many places where that's heavily judged, even in the legal states. So yeah, I'd say we have a little bit of everywhere, but it definitely focuses on Colorado.
What made you decide to get into this business? Was there any one experience? And then I guess the follow-up question to that is, do you do anything related to cannabis besides hosting a podcast?
Yeah, so I actually, for my day job, which I will not mention, but it's in technology, and I host a technology podcast, essentially. So I've been into podcasting for a while, and one of my hobbies in my own time is going to dispensaries here in Colorado and trying out all the fun, exciting new products that there are. So a friend of mine, his name is Ryan Sterling. He's the owner of a company here in Colorado called Green Screens. They essentially do digital signage menu boards for dispensaries. He had made this offhand comment about, you've tried all these products, you know so much about the industry, you should podcast about it. And we laughed it off as a total, like, that'll never happen. And then, you know, I was at a Red Rock show and I may have been a little bit under the influence, and I was like, this is going to happen. I'm going to be called Strawberry Sequoia. And so I just like manifested this whole thing in my mind and convinced my fiance, who is now my co-host, to do it with me. So yeah, I don't actually come from the industry and I have been learning a ton. It was born out of testing out products essentially and sharing that information with my friends and family who, you know, a lot of people don't live in legal states. And also, you know, people just want to know, what product can I use for sleep? I'm going through menopause and I can't get to sleep. Or I have really bad anxiety, but I don't really want to get high. Is there a CBD product you can recommend? So, you know, a lot of my friends and family were asking questions. So now we're digging for answers.
That's awesome. That's kind of how my podcast started, but that's another story, I think. But
nice.
Let's get back to the education part of what you do. I guess maybe off the top of your head, what are the biggest three misconceptions that people have about cannabis? Because I know I'm sure there's a lot. I mean, I grew up in Minnesota. We're a fairly liberal state, but I mean, I still have a grandma that lives in northern Minnesota. So yeah, what are the three most, I guess, misconceptions?
Well, that is kind of a hard and easy question. You know, it's like, I don't know exactly what the biggest ones are, but I would say in non-legal states, I still think there's a lot of confusion about, is cannabis addictive? Is cannabis bad for you? At what age is it okay to try cannabis? Is it 18? Is it 21? Is it going to kill all your brain cells? Or is it something seriously that you can look at as a medicinal plant? And it just depends on where you live. You know, now in Colorado, that part of the education is over. Pretty much everyone's accepted that this is a medicinal plant and a recreational plant. It can be used either way, and that's okay. Yeah, so I would say, you know, that has a lot to do with just the stigma and the misinformation that's been passed on forever. And we're just starting to finally get actual research and data on these subjects, whereas for so long it was just, you know, hysteria. So that's a really big one. I would say in the industry, one of the biggest things that is kind of going crazy right now is the CBD craze. And if you don't know what CBD is, it's a cannabinoid that is non-psychoactive and is said to have a lot of really great benefits, like anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety, can help you sleep. But every freaking person in the world is starting a CBD company and making a lot of claims into what it does and does not do. It's kind of the snake oil of our time. So there's a lot of dissecting of that industry as well, which is a little different than, you know, the cannabis that we think of, THC, that gets you high. Let's see. A third one. So many topics that we cover. The one I was just talking about with destigmatization for just parenting in general. Can cannabis be involved in parenting? Can it make you a better parent? Or, as a lot of people see it, make you a worse parent? So yeah, just fighting through the stigmas that are still put on this plant that I personally believe is very medicinal.
Sure. And I know lots of people agree with you. So that's awesome. Let's talk a little more about the CBD craze, because it's literally all over everywhere. And I don't know where to start, what to believe. What has been your experience in learning about CBD and maybe dealing with it as well?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you have to just do your research at this point. You can't just go online and say CBD for aging and pick out the first product that you see. You need to go onto that website and make sure that they're doing third-party testing, that, you know, there's actually CBD in what these products have. I mean, there's been tests that have been done on CBD products where there's almost no CBD in these products, and it's all across the board. So make sure that the company is being tested, that they're going through a third-party test so that you can see exactly what is in those products. Look at podcasts and blogs like our own, where we look into all these products, review them, talk to the people that actually started the companies. I would say, in general, it really just is about research right now. There's no right or wrong. This is good, this is bad. You just have to look into these companies before you purchase.
And do you think that research applies to cannabis as well? Like, should we be doing our research about that and the different strains and what they can help?
That's a good question. And I think, to an extent, absolutely. You know, there's different growing methods. So if you're using cannabis medicinally, you don't want, you know, cannabis that's been grown by somebody using any kind of pesticides or things that might interfere with your medicine or with your condition. So we're looking a lot at cannabis farms that are cultivating clean cannabis. We interviewed Aster Farms out in California, and they use only organic soil. They have all clean green certifications, and they grow 100% outdoors, which, if you are growing outdoors, you get all these different benefits for the plant, like different terpenes. Essentially a terpene is a defense mechanism for the plant. So that's released only if it needs it, which in an outdoor condition with bugs and sun and all things like that, it can release those. So looking at your cannabis producing companies is important. It's not per se, you're going to know with THC, with cannabis that gets you high, like you're going to know if it gets you high or not. But if you want to know if it's clean, that's a big deal. And then another thing I look at is edibles. So there's a million different edible companies out there, and some of them are just, you know, throwing in 8 million grams of sugar, and it's really not a healthy product. So looking into the ingredients and the actual claims, a lot of companies claim that they help you sleep when really it's no different than any other cannabis product. So yes, I think that as consumers become more educated, they can make better decisions on what you're putting into your body, much like you would do with the alcohol that you consume potentially, or just the food and medicine that you take in general.
So say I'm a total, I don't know, cannabis newbie, and I don't know really what it's for other than I know I can get high with it. What are some of the other benefits of regularly using cannabis to promote healing, I guess? Because you said it's very healing and it can help a lot of people. So what are some of those benefits that either you've seen or you've heard people talk about?
Absolutely. So my preferred method of consumption most of the time, especially if we're talking regular, is microdosing. And what that means is taking a very low amount of THC and other cannabinoids to the point where you don't really get high, although you maybe a tiny bit high. And it can help with, for me personally, anxiety and just stress throughout my day and my week. So taking 1 to 2 milligrams won't affect the way that I work. It won't affect, you know, I won't be paranoid or socially incapable of interacting in my community, but it will help with my stress and anxiety levels. Another thing that I personally do is THCA, which is just a cannabinoid that has absolutely no psychoactive, like CBD, and we're learning more and more about these cannabinoids, so the research needs to catch up, but mainly the effects that people are looking for and that you can get out of all these cannabinoids that aren't psychoactive a lot of times is anti-inflammatory. That's kind of the big one. I use CBD as well for sleeping, so, you know, just sort of helping with that nature. And I'm not the best person to talk about the endocannabinoid system, but essentially every human being and most animals have an endocannabinoid system. So the receptors, the cannabinoid receptors in your body actually need almost these cannabis supplements to balance out your system. So it's supposed to be a very balancing medicine for your body. And that's some of the ways that I use it. A lot of people use it for, definitely for sleep. And there's something to be said about getting high. I mean, at South by Southwest this year that I went to a talk about cannabis and health and wellness, some of the panelists were saying, you know, don't take the high out of weed. A lot of times healing can help when you're high. And a lot of times that joy and happiness is a part of healing. So I could go on all day about the different things I learned from just that talk about cannabis and health, but there's just so much. And we're finding out more and more. I mean, one of the biggest issues still in the community is that research has been shackled by politics, essentially. And we're not able to get research on a federally funded level in actual scientific labs. So, you know, we're probably going to find out that a lot of this is or is not true in the next 5 to 10 years. So we'll see when that research comes out.
Politics affecting things. Who would have thought? So I've started asking my guests 3 fun questions, and they just get the ball rolling. So they're kind of on the spot. But the first one is, what is the most awkward thing that has ever happened to you?
Oh my God. I mean, my life in general. The most awkward thing that ever happened to me. Off the top of my head, you know, I can't think of one specific instance, but I will say that I'm just awkward in general. So I often spout out weird things at the wrong times.
I can relate to that. Today, I told a friend that I thought she was holier than thou. Like sometimes, not all the time. And I didn't mean it in a mean way, but I was like, you know, check yourself a little bit. And she got mad at me and I was like, well, fuck, Martha, you did it again. The second question is, what is your favorite frozen pizza?
My favorite frozen pizza, like the brand, like DiGiorno versus...
Yeah. Okay. So how this came about was I love, and I don't know if they have this in Colorado, Totino's frozen pizza. They make the party rolls or the pizza rolls, excuse me. And I love it. And like everyone else I talked to was like, Martha, Totino's is trash. You don't know what you're talking about. Now I have started pulling the masses because I want to find out the best frozen pizza.
Oh my goodness. Well, my answer is going to just, you're not even going to like it. I love this frozen cauliflower pizza crust that they have at Whole Foods. And it's just the crust. So you have to put your own sauce and cheese and toppings on, but I love it. So that's my answer. The frozen cauliflower crust from Whole Foods.
Hey, that is one I haven't heard before. So
that's your real older hippie coming out in me.
Yeah. That's hilarious. No, I love it. You're very on brand. Okay. The last question, and this is kind of a fun one. What does human connection mean to you? And it's purposely vague, so you can take it in any direction you want.
Wow. So that now we're getting deep.
Oh, yeah.
What does human connection mean to me? You know, I think it's one of the most important things that we have. It's so important to have a connection with your fellow human beings. A lot of people say right now we have something of a loneliness epidemic, and maybe that's stemmed a little bit from social media and things of that nature that are very prevalent in our society now. And I think that without getting out there and having social connection, whether it be with your friends or meeting new people or connecting with people via platforms like podcasts, I think that makes the world feel smaller. That makes the world more interesting and fun. It makes people happier. I think that cannabis can also be a very great social connection tool, which has I've heard from many people. You know, once you smoked a joint with somebody, you're kind of friends for life. And it's also a very interesting community in general, the cannabis world. Yeah, I think it's very important and special.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I think, right, again, I live in Minnesota. How many times can I say that? But we certainly don't have that here, at least not legally. So I know it can be hard for people to really, I don't know, find that shared connection when you do it at parties. But a lot of people I know like to smoke alone. So I don't know. I think it just depends. I think that's a good point. Could you tell us a story of a time that you connected with someone as you were partaking in the cannabis activities?
I certainly can. And I'm going to take it way back to high school when...
Awesome.
And I know it was super illegal when this was happening. I grew up in an illegal state, still is. And I was way too young. But my older brother was essentially evil to me most of my life. He was just really mean. He beat me up all the time. His friends weren't allowed to talk to me at school. He was constantly making fun of me. And my younger brother and I were pretty good friends, and we had discovered cannabis when we hit high school at a certain age. And we rolled a joint, brought it to my older brother as like a peace offering. We were like, do you want to try this with us? And he said yes. And ever since that day, we became friends. Like, we're best friends to this day. That was it. We were in on a secret together, I think was kind of part of it, right? Like, no one can tell the parents. And we've connected over that our whole lives, for the rest of our lives. And it's really funny because I finally told that story to my mother, and she said, oh my God, that's what happened with me and my siblings. As soon as we all smoked weed together, we became friends. And now they throw big parties every year. They've all been friends for life and still connect using this cannabis plant. So it's always kind of been a part of my life. And that's probably the biggest story I could say where it really changed a relationship and really connected me with my own brother.
That's great. I'm not actually that close with my brother either. So Wilson, if you're listening, I don't know, maybe we can make something work.
Yeah, Wilson.
Okay, so back to me as a newbie, or just anyone as a newbie, and someone is interested in maybe learning more about this and, you know, trying to find out what's the best fit for them, or maybe they're taking a trip to Colorado and just want to try it. Where do you recommend the starting point? Like, what is Cannabis 101 to you?
Cannabis 101. I mean, I would say if you're going to try cannabis, the general rule of thumb is to start low and slow. And what that means is if you're taking an edible, take the smallest amount possible. Cut the gummy in half. Don't even take the suggested dose. Take way smaller. You know, if you're going to smoke, consume cannabis that way, or vape, just start really small, because we've all, anybody pretty much that I've talked to that's tried cannabis has, I mean, you can't overdose, there's, you know, obviously, but has done way too much to the point where you have a really bad experience, and you know, you just totally ruin it for yourself with paranoia, and you're just high forever. If you do get way too high, some suggestions there are to balance it by taking a CBD oil, which a lot of people say takes away the edge of the high, or just to eat a bunch of food, shower, you know, just have a controlled environment, low and slow. If you are lucky enough to go to a legal state, just ask your bud tender. Bud tenders are amazing sources of information. I mean, they know every single product and they've tried them all. So, and if you're not in a legal state, then I probably shouldn't make any suggestions for you, but be careful.
Yes. Let's just assume that we are all in legal states.
Yeah. Just be careful.
That's life advice for anything. Just be careful. Yeah. Are they really called bud tenders? That's funny. I haven't heard that before.
Oh, yes. So that's like your bartender, but it's your bud tender. Oh, they really are the best. I mean, that is the gateway to cannabis in a legal state. Just ask the bud tender.
Sure. Ask the questions so you can find out the answers.
Mm-hmm. I guess I just want to say a little bit of a reiteration of what I've already said, in that I don't think that there needs to be a stigma put on this plant. Legal state or not, it should be treated like drinking a beer. It should almost be treated better than drinking a beer, because alcohol is essentially poison, whereas cannabis can, in a lot of ways, be medicine. So I hope that we can come together in this country and legalize. And legalize not only for the sake of having a good time, but for people that really do need this plant medicine for serious illnesses, as well as for people that have been incarcerated for nonviolent cannabis crimes. There are still people all over the country locked up for having a small amount of weed on them, or for consuming a small amount of weed. And that's just, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on here, but that's effed
up.
Yeah,
you can.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, just give it a chance. Just, I mean, you don't even have to try it, but give the cannabis plant, which is just a plant that grows out of the ground, right? Just give it a chance to not be this evil thing. And that's what we're here for. And if you have any questions and you do need education, or you're afraid to try something, or you need a recommendation, just reach right on out to us, because we answer all the questions.
Totally. And I'm just looking through your podcast episode list now. I see you do some reviews. So out of curiosity, what is your favorite kind, or favorite method of delivery as well?
So this is actually kind of funny. I test everything, and I have fallen in love recently with what's called a micro mist. Clearly we'll have to be in a legal state to find something like this, but it is a spray. The one I like right now is by a company called Vera Wellness. And you spray it underneath your tongue, and each spray is 1 milligram of THC and 1 milligram of CBD. There's different versions, but that's the one I like. And so you can seriously microdose up down to 1 milligram. I often do 2 to 4, but it's discreet. It tastes like a breath spray. You can do it anywhere. I bring it to the gym and have it before a workout. I just love that it's discreet, it's easy, and it's easy to dose. But I like all sorts of various edibles and vaporizers, and you just can't beat a good old-fashioned joint.
Thank you to Strawberry Sequoia and you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I found it super interesting, and I definitely learned a lot. You can find Strawberry on her website, MaryJaneExperience.com, and in the show notes, she also provided me with some of her favorite products, so I will link those as well. Additionally, I just wanted to plug one more time my dating freebie, the top 10 conversation starters for first dates. Unfortunately, I didn't ask if one of them is not, do you smoke weed? But I do have a Taco Bell question on there. So maybe you could, you know, talk about your favorite Thai food on a date. I don't know. Run with it. You can find this freebie on my website, www.shityouneedtoknow.com/freebies. I will see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.